Good evening. Once again, I appreciate the opportunity to stand before y'all and speak to y'all for a few minutes about God's Word. And the overall theme this week has been how to be a better servant. And I don't think probably the best way to begin that idea is to really find a way to the love of the church. That's going to be our topic tonight, is love for the church, what the church really means, why it should be more important to us, and hopefully we can realize why we should cherish it more than maybe some of us already do. But I know I spent most of my late teens and 20s taking it for granted and not realizing how important it should be to me. So don't let that happen to you. But we need to always think about how important it is to us, that it's the most important thing for us as a community of Christians, as believers, that we should cherish the church and put it first in our lives. It's evident from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, just how deeply Jesus loved the church. The Bible tells husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So tonight we're going to think about the love that each person ought to have for the Lord's church. What makes that love so strong? And how do we show that love for the church in each one of our lives? And how that the church is not something that we just do, something that we go to, but it's what we are, it's who we are every day of our lives. What exactly does it mean to love the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? And why do we love the church? As we think today about the church and the Lord Jesus, of Jesus Christ, and every Christian having that love for the church, let's realize that Jesus himself loved the church deeply, as we just read in Ephesians. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 tells us, Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. So how much did Christ love the church? Enough that he gave his own life. He gave up his life on Calvary to buy the church and to save the Lord's church. So in view of that, and as we think about the great love that Christ has for the church, we ask a very practical question tonight. Why should Christians today love the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Sometimes we hear people talk about the church, and it's not talked about in a very good light, even by people who are supposedly members of it. You know, it's as though they just have to go to church, like it's an obligation, as though they have to work in the church, or as though the church is really not that important to them. The Bible teaches that the church is important, that every Christian ought to love the church, the Church of Christ, very deeply. And we're going to look at a few reasons why. First and foremost, we ought to love the church because the church belongs to Christ and to Him only. He is the sole owner of His church. And if we're a member of the church that means we belong to Christ, and with all the blessings and privileges that go along with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, no other foundation can any man lay except that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So He is the foundation of the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. It belongs to Jesus and Him only. It doesn't carry the denominational name. The Bible teaches that that's contrary to the will of God. If we're a member of the Lord's church, we're not a part of some denomination. We're a part of something much more special, and something that is completely whole. We are part of the one body of Jesus Christ. Paul addressed the subject of denominationalism in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, when he said, it's reported concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Each of you says, I'm a Paul, or I'm a Apollos, or I'm Cephas, or I'm a Christ. Let there be no divisions among you. So why do we love the church? Because it is a divine institution that Jesus himself built and instituted, and that it belongs to him and him only. If we're a part of that church, then that means we belong to Christ. We have access to God the Father in prayer, as we read about in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. We have forgiveness of sins if we have been baptized for the remission of sins, as told in Acts 2:38. We have the privilege of being a family of God that we read about in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. So ultimately, if we're a member of Christ's church and we belong to Him, one day He's going to come to receive His own and take us back to the Father. We read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. Secondly, as we think about why Christians should love the church of Christ, we ought to love the church because Jesus paid the best sacrifice and the greatest sacrifice ever to establish her. Once again, we're going to look at the words in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. And Paul is talking to the elders there at Ephesus, and these men who are leaders in the congregation. And Paul says, "Shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood." So just think about how that sacrifice, how important it is that Christ purchased the church with His own powerful blood. When Jesus went through the agony and the suffering that He faced, when people mocked Him, when they laughed at Him, when they spit in His face, when they placed that crown of thorns on His head and took that rod and beat Him, when Jesus was taken and beaten with that whip, ask yourself, why did He do all that? It wasn't for us to take this, what we do, lightly. Not just what we do, but who we are lightly. He purchased the church to buy back to God the saved who would obey His gospel. Does that not stress to each of us how important the church is to God? If the church is made up of the saved, as we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, then that expresses how important we are to God. And God wants all men to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 tells us, "God is not slow concerning His promises, as some men count slowness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." If Christ purchased the church with His own blood, and if the blood of Christ means anything to us, then the church is going to be very important to every person who loves God and values the great sacrifice that Christ made for us. Thirdly, we love the church of Christ because it is the place of the saved, like we just talked about, like I just mentioned. Think about this for just a minute. Imagine that you know that there's some kind of catastrophe coming. You have advance warning about it. Imagine there's some kind of destruction that is heading your way. Let's say that you're out in the yard and you hear a tornado siren, or you get an alert on your phone, and that you have an advance warning that there's a tornado, a major destructive force heading towards you. And you've got a basement, or you've got a cellar, or a storm shelter that you can get into. Think about how thankful you are for that place to be, that place of salvation, that place that you shut the door and the tornado comes over you and you're not damaged or harmed at all. You and your family are safe. Aren't you thankful for that place and the safety when that where you are at that time and you're saved at? Think about it this way. We are warned about there's a day of destruction that is coming. God is going to give a reckoning of all men when He comes. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 tells us that very thing. And the Bible teaches that the church is the only place of safety where all the saved of God's kingdom are. Because we know that because of the teachings of Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Remember, they have now heard the message for the first time about Jesus. They believe He's now the Messiah who they had just killed just a few days prior. They're ready to repent and be baptized for their remission of sins. As we read about in Acts 2:38, the Bible tells us those who gladly received His word and were baptized. And then at 2:47 tells us, "And the Lord added to His church daily those who are being saved." So where are the saved put? The only place they can be put, in the church, or the place of safety. God's collection where all the saved are. Not only do we have the privilege right now of being saved and being a member of the Lord's church, but ultimately it is the church that is going to be saved. Ultimately we're going home one day to be with God. And if you talk like this outside of the church, you're going to be called hard-line, hard-hearted, that you think you're the only people, Church of Christ is the only people that are going to be saved. But the Bible makes it very clear what the conditions and what the parameters are to meet to be saved. And there, you can't be a part of a man-made church, a man-made denomination, expect to be saved. Do you remember the words of Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 1? Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Were it not so," he says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself." When we think about the beauty of heaven, what that's going to mean, that those who are in the church are going to be there. So the church is the place of safety, and it's the place where all of God's saved are. There aren't any that are saved outside the church. And that's just the truth. People don't like to hear it, don't like to accept it. But it is the place where God, not men, put the saved when they obey the gospel. We also love the church of Christ because the Lord has the power to overcome sin and Satan and hell. Let's listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 16 as he spoke about his church. Peter had just made the statement that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's notice what Jesus says based on that. He says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So Christ's church and his plan of salvation, his sacrifice that he made for all of us, has the power to defeat Satan. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 tells us Jesus, through death, overcame him who had the power of death. It has the power to overcome destruction and eternal torment if we obey the gospel. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 tells us there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who has the power to overcome Satan, to overcome the forces of hell, and to overcome sin. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us all from all sin. Nobody wants to be lost. Nobody wants to go to hell. And nobody wants to be overcome by Satan and sin and live a life that is so wrapped up and entangled in sin. Many people may live that way, but that's not truly what they want. They want something to bring them out of that misery. We want to be saved. We're not totally depraved. We want to overcome the forces of evil in this world. We just need to be shown the truth of what is out there. And that's our job as disciples and followers of Christ and as members of the church, to take that to people who have not heard it. We want peace and happiness and prosperity spiritually. And that only occurs through the words of Jesus. When he said, "I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," that's a peaceful and comforting statement. Hell's not going to conquer the church if we remain faithful and remain in it, continue walking in the light. The devil cannot conquer the church. If we remain faithful in the Lord's church, we are on God's side. And ultimately, we will be the victors, or those who conquer. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 says this: "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We also love the church that Jesus died for because the church is God's people. God loves his church because we are the Lord's church, and that we have been set aside. Not loving the church is not loving yourself or other Christians. If I truly say I love other Christians and want to go to heaven, then naturally I must love the church and put it first. Think about the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. It says, "You are the body of Christ and members individually one of another." So what is the body he's talking about? Well, the body is the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. Christ is the head over the body, his church, which is his body. And so the church is the body. Those are used as synonyms in the New Testament. We are the body of Christ and members individually one of another. Now when we think about the church, And I think most of y'all understand this, that we're not talking about a physical building or a geographic location. The church is us as Christians. It's the people who make it up. God does not dwell in temples made with hands today, that we read as Acts chapter 7 tells us. God dwells among His people. And we, the church of Christ, He dwells among us. When we say we love the church and we love each other, we love the benefits that come by being a member of the church. And we love that the head of the church, and that is Jesus Christ. And this is very practical because if I love my brothers and sisters, naturally, it's going to be the church as well that I love. They are the church. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 teaches us, let brotherly love continue. So we're commanded by Christ to love one another. John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. So God, the New Testament makes it very clear that our duty is to love one another, to do right by one another. That to be more than acquaintances, and that's what we've been trying to do here lately, is to be closer together, to spend more time with one another. But we need to realize how important it is that we're more than just people we see on Sunday morning, or that we've known all our lives as acquaintances, but we should be more than that and try our best to live that way. God wants His people to be filled with love for each other, to care about one another, and to look out for each other's interests, and to encourage and to help each other to go to heaven in every way. And so someone says, give me Christ, but not the church. But that's impossible, because the church is made up of the saved. The church is made up of our brothers and sisters in Christ. If I don't love the church, can I really love my brothers and sisters in Christ? If not, then I can only stand condemned, according to the words of 1 John chapter 3 and chapter 4. We must love one another and strive to encourage and to help one another. Then we'll look at another point as to why Christians should love the church. We love the church because the church's eternal destiny is heaven itself. We have alluded to this passage several times. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. And we're going to look at the words of Paul as it relates to the resurrection. Paul says, Then comes the end of all things, when He delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when He puts an end to all rule, all authority, and all power. So we're talking about the final coming of Christ, the end of all things, the destruction of the world. He says, then comes the end, and at the end, Christ is going to deliver and take back the kingdom to the Father. So the question then rises from that verse, that passage, what is the kingdom? Jesus promised it would exist during the lifetime of His disciples, or a good number of His disciples. Mark chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, there are some standing here today who will not taste death until they see the kingdom present with power. Some of His first century disciples were promised to see it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 tells that it did come into existence. The Bible says that God translated some out of the darkness into the kingdom of His Son. So it came into existence in the first century. So what is the kingdom? Well, the words in Christ in establishing the church again help us to understand what it is. Jesus said, I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. And then He said this, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And the only answer of that can be that the kingdom is the church. The church and the kingdom are synonymous. So we're talking about one and the same. Peter stood up with the eleven, preached the gospel, took those keys of the gospel, opened the doors of the kingdom, and the Bible says for the first time the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So if the church is the kingdom, and we love the church because its eternal destiny is heaven itself, and think about this when Christ comes to claim His own. When He comes back to take back with Him to His Father's house those who obey the gospel, It's going to be those in the kingdom. He will deliver the kingdom to the Father. The kingdom and the church are the people that will be delivered. And we're going to be delivered ultimately to God Himself. And that's the power and the joy and the hope that being a Christian. So we love the church because if we remain faithful unto death, as Revelation chapter 2 verse 10 tells us, that we can have a crown of life because the church is going to be with God for all eternity. So we look at all these reasons why we should love the church. Let's shift gears and think about for just a minute that if we say we love the church, and hopefully we do, after thinking about some of these principles, the next question is, how do we show our love for the Lord's church? And we do that by several different ways. Number one, I show my love, and you show your love for the Lord's church by putting it first in everything we do. Now remember, the church and the kingdom are one and the same. So what did Jesus say about our priority in the kingdom? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So the church needs to be our first priority. So let's make that more practical. More than worldly interests and pleasures, more than our job, more than money, more than recreation and ball games, and all those things, the church needs to come first in all decisions that we make. I want to think about the church first and foremost. I know several people who've had opportunity in their lifetime to take better paying jobs, to leave the area, but they turn it down because there's not a faithful congregation where they're going. And that's just one example of a way you can put the church first, put your family and your faith in Christ first, is to make a decision like that. And in the end, you'll be blessed, even if you suffer in the short term. The question ought to never come, are we going to worship today? Are we going to work in church? Are we going to evangelize? Are we going to help spread the borders of the kingdom? The church is our number one priority, and then everything else can fall in line after that. And that's how we can show our love for the Lord and His church. Secondly, if we love the church, then we're going to want to spread the borders of the kingdom and tell others about it. That was one of the requests that Jesus left with us. After His resurrection, Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 28, 18 and 19, and Mark 16, 15, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel unto every creature. We're to baptize of all nations," as we're told in Matthew chapter 28. The early church did that. The Bible says those who were in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, the Bible says those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Thus, as a Christian, I want to be ready always to tell about Christ. And so if we love the church, we're not going to be ashamed of the church. As Paul said in Romans chapter 1, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." We should have the same attitude. If I love the church, then I want my neighbors to be saved, to become a part of the church. Spreading the gospel is one of the ways we show our love for the Lord's church. The Lord doesn't have any silent partners in His church. So getting up here and speaking is a very small part of it. It's all of our duty to do it. Anytime we have opportunity to anybody, no matter if it's our neighbor or a co-worker or a friend or somebody we just strike a conversation up with, it's our duty to not be silent as one of His disciples and to spread His message. We need to be spreading the gospel and telling others about the message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then, as we've noted, we show our love for the church by really loving each other. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 says, "Let brotherly love continue." If I love all of y'all and you love me, then we're going to strive to encourage one another. When somebody's down or hurting or in need, we're going to strive to help them. I know there's many people here who are already very good at that. And I know people, some that are not here, that are very good at that, who reach out and ask questions and go out of their way to help. That's something that I am very bad about doing, is checking up on people. We're going to do what we can to encourage and to lift one another up and be built up together so that we can really live as a family of God together for all eternity. And I know this sounds something that we might be basic, but we shouldn't take it for granted, because as we've seen, we thought we were all on the same page just a couple years ago. We all thought that we all believed the same thing, that we were all part of the same church. But obviously we were not. And we need to really individually and as a group realize that we are one family and one kingdom, one church, and that is not to be taken lightly and taken for granted, because things change in a hurry. We also show our love to the church that Jesus died by giving, that the Jesus died for by giving ourselves to the church. Now, when I'm talking about giving, I'm not just talking about financially. That, don't get me wrong, that's very important to do. The Bible teaches Christians to give as they have been prospered on the first day of the week, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. But giving myself to the church requires more than just finances. I want to give my time to the work of the church. I want to give my energy and effort in serving the Lord. I want to give myself in growing to be a better steward and a servant of what God wants me to do. And I want to give financially as well to the work of the local church on the first day of the week, as we've been commanded to do. We can also show our love for the Lord's church by not just filling a pew on Sunday or Wednesday, but actually doing something for the Lord. Even if you're not successful in converting somebody, that's not going to be held against you, but you should still try your best to spread the word. And I know it's sometimes tough. I mean, when you're dealing with people who are sometimes very ignorant about what the Bible actually says, that I had a guy at work tell me that the word Christian is not even used in the Bible. And then you open the Bible and you tell him it's used three different times. He tells you, well, the Bible's been tampered with. It's very hard to sometimes even work with people, but you can't let that discourage you. Working in the kingdom is how we show our love for the church. You know, when you think about the idea of being a servant, that's what Jesus has called us to do. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many." When you look at the life of Jesus, as we talk about working in the church and Him being our ultimate example, Jesus lived the most servant-filled life you could ever imagine. Think about all that He was doing. He went out and helped the poor and fed the poor. He went out and helped those who were hurting. He healed those who were sick. He cast demons out of those who were possessed. And of course, we can't do all of those things, but there are many things that we can do that He did in being a servant to the church and the kingdom. If anybody ever exemplified working in the kingdom, it was the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's the application for me and you. If I'm really going to love the church, then I've got to not just fill a pew and listen to someone speak a lesson. I've got to be out busy working for God. Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 4, "We must work the works of Him who sent us while it is day, for night comes when no man works." So now is the time, and now is the opportunity to be working for God. We need to stay busy in His kingdom. The Apostle Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 38. Paul said, "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." So like I said, if you are talking to somebody trying to preach the gospel and you're not successful, but if you do it enough times that your labor will not be in vain, you will eventually reach somebody. So don't get discouraged. Eventually you will see some fruits of your labor. What we do for God now, that's really what's important. And that is what is not in vain, but brings glory and honor to God. Remember the words of Revelation chapter 14, verse 13? The Bible tells Christians, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." "Yes," says the Spirit, "that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." As we talk about loving the church by not just sitting there and taking up a spot on a pew, here's what that really means. It means that I want to tell somebody else about the church of Christ, about the church and the kingdom and what He died for. I don't want to be the Lord's silent partner. We need to go out and do our best to evangelize, to talk to others. We want to tell others about the good that is done in the church and how they can be saved. We want to do good in our communities. That's what Jesus did while He was here. He went about doing good. And he did all that he could do to do what he could to get people to realize the Jews at the time that he was the Messiah. And we should follow that example, that there is still a chance for them to be saved. How can I help those who are there hurting? How can I help the poor who are in need? What can we do to those who are sick, for those who are sick? How can we help those who have got spiritual problems and are in need of God? Those are the things that Jesus strove to do while he was here. And those are the things that we need to do as well while we're here. We want to study our Bible. We want to pray. We should want to do all those things. We want to do what we can to give ourselves to God. We want to make sure that every day we strive to be a living sacrifice for the Lord. As we think about loving the church, another important question is needed to be asked. And it's this. Are you a member of the church that Jesus died for? He only died for one, not the thousands of denominations you see out there. I've heard it put by several different people that if you went back to the day of Pentecost or a few days after and you asked them what church you were a part of, the people who had just been baptized, they would look at you like you were crazy because there was one church at that time. So are you a member of the church that Jesus died for? Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Jesus said, unless you believe that I am He, you'll surely die in your sins. Are you willing to repent of those things in your life that may not be right? Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Are you willing to confess and acknowledge that Jesus as a Savior? With the heart, one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. And then how do we contact the blood of Christ and have our sins washed away? And we're told in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that baptism is for the remission of sins. And Acts 22, 16 says that the blood of Christ washes away those sins. That in baptism, those sins are washed away. So would you do what the Bible says to get into the church and by one Spirit be baptized just as all other members have been? If you're not a member, we're begging you today to become a member of the Lord's church and live every day to show that you are, that you love the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are a member and you need the services of the church, you can come forward this time and turn the services back over to Brother Greg.